So everyone, welcome as we start our very first podcast. I don't think we have a name for it as of yet, Isaac. So
yeah, I don't think we do either. I don't think that's one thing that we discussed yet.
Haven't come up with a name yet. So if you want to name it for us, you can throw that in. This is Todd Stapleton and Isaac Isringhausen, and podcast we've been talking about, a little sports podcast. We're going to pick a couple of topics each week and banter those about a little bit. And there might be an old school opinion in here. And there might be a younger school opinion in here, too. So we'll see about that. So a couple of the topics we were going to talk about this week from this past week was college football, a lot of the rivalry games. I think there were four that had happened in the flag planting attempts.
I know it happened in with Arizona State and Michigan and Ohio, but I can't think of the – I know more
State
happened.
And yep, North that. Carolina. So there were four, yeah. So – four times that they had the flag planting. So we were going to discuss that. And the other one we're going to talk a little bit about it be public-private when it comes to high school sports, and maybe particularly high school football, because that was just a pretty big one. But so start off with the flag planting. Obviously, for anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, you win on the other guy's field. And you take your flag and you plant it either on their logo, end zone was one place that they do it. So, and obviously the other team is not necessarily thrilled with this when you do it. So I'll let you start. I'll let you give your opinion on the flag planting.
Me personally, maybe this is just a different mindset, like you said, a newer school mindset, but I kind of treat it the same way I treat whenever you see field storming and court storming in college sports, and you see people get mad about that. Well, if you don't want them to plant your flag, or that plant their flag, excuse me, don't really give them a reason to. I mean, the best example is the Michigan and Ohio State one, because that one was really the first one that caught the eye of everyone. And what was it? Ohio State was 21-point favorites coming into that game. Talent wise, it was a down year for Michigan. Definitely not the year that they wanted, but still, Ohio State should have easily walk the floor with them. And I think that was a big thing for Michigan too, is that they know, hey, this is a down year for us. We're not going to make the playoffs. We might get a bad bowl game here, but this is our Super Bowl, so to speak. This is our national championship. Let's go out there. This is the game that means the most to us. It means the most to our fans. And I feel like if you are able to have that moment, have that flag planting moment, it really just gives them a more bragging rights, so to speak, especially something to hang over the heads of Ohio State fans all season long.
I get that part of it. Two things I'll say. One is, have there ever been things, not just you, but anybody listening to, that you're getting ready to do, and you know this isn't going to go well. I'm going to do this, and there's going to be problems. That's the first thing with the flag planting is this is not going to go well. They're not going to like it. There's going to be fights. This is going to look bad. The other thing is, we're very big in this country on you need to be a good loser. We hear a lot about that. Mm-hmm. You need to be respectful when you lose. You know what? You can be respectful winning too. You can win with class. You can win with respect. And I had a couple quotes from Seth Davis, who's covers basketball, CBS Sports, and follow him on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. If you go to twitter.com, it still takes you there. So, and he said one was, quote, if you are good with or like flag planting, logo dancing, jumping on a scorer's table, etc., then you're saying it's not important to win with class. That's cool. Totally legit and defensible position. But recognize that's precisely what you're saying. And I agree with that. I think do whatever you want to do, but understand that there are consequences for whatever you do. And so don't do something and then get surprised when the other team gets upset, because it's going to happen. That would be my part. And I still think, and my dad used to say this to me, act like you've been there before. Mm-hmm. I think that would be mine. And I get, you just beat a rival. They're a hated rival. They're banned did a little.
I did see that. Yeah,
you know, to you know, like took didn't the they defecation like, on the. On
I saw
the,
that. Didn't they like stomp on an M2 or something they like did. That?
So their rivalry is borderline dumb. I mean, honestly, how much they hate one another. And I know Alabama Auburn's that way.
Oh, yeah. And that's one thing, too, that makes me kind of turn the corner more from professional sports to collegiate sports is that the rivalries actually mean something. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. I mean, professional sports, the rivalry is mostly between the fans. You know, you rarely see players from opposing teams that hate each other because of the jersey that they wear. But in college, you see that all the time. I mean, you mentioned Auburn and Alabama is another good one. I know Kansas and Kansas State is a good one for basketball. Illinois and Iowa is another good one, too. I mean, that's one thing that I feel like college sports does 10 times better than the professional sports is they actually have the rivalries kind of mean something, too.
I agree with that, and I understand that part, but I do think that you can win with class, too. And I don't think you always have to show somebody up when it's over. And that, unfortunately, though, and I'm getting into a little bit too much society here, but that's something we've said. And I really do believe that in society today, we have said you have to be a good loser. You have to learn how to lose. You have to learn how to accept it. And I'll go to the home run celebrations in baseball. You, as a pitcher, you just have to stand there and take it now. If you throw at the guy the next time up, then you're the bad guy. That's how the game's changed over time. Now, when I was growing up and you did some of the things that guys do now, you were getting hit. You were getting hit probably for the next week. You were getting hit with pitches. But we've changed in society. You win, you get to do anything you want. You lose, you have to be a good loser. Well, I still think there's some class in winning and doing it gracefully. There's also a thing to be said for make your opponent mad by acting like you were going to take care of this from day one. Yeah, we had this. We knew this. There's a little bit to be said for that, too. That would be my parting line. I think you can win with class. Mm-hmm. I think you do need to be a good loser. Being a good loser is a lot harder.
Right.
Heck of a lot harder.
Oh, yeah.
But I think being a good winner sometimes and acting like you've been there before is good, too. And the thing is, the thing that always got me about the flag planting thing was, you know, when you're carrying that out there, this is going to get ugly. Mm-hmm. You know that. You know it's going to get ugly. I don't know if they were expecting to get maced by the cops like they did at Columbus, Ohio, but you know it's going to get ugly. And I just will say that if there's things that when you're going to do it, you're like, this isn't a good idea. Don't do it. Don't do it because it's going to get ugly. So that would be my parting line. You're a loud one for sure.
Yeah, you talk about, you know, I know you brought up the home run celebrations too in baseball, and I do think there is a time and place for a lot of those things as well. And one of the quotes that I saw from this past weekend, Baker Mayfield was asked about it Sunday after their loss, yep. And he said, you know, like he said, whenever I was at Oklahoma, we would do that all the time with what was it, Texas? Or I think it was Texas.
Texas.
He said,
that's
yeah,
our biggest.
He said when we would beat Texas and when Texas would beat us, we would do it to each other. He's like, it's one of those things that you just let the boys play and you just take your L and go home, you know. And it's definitely an argument, too, that I can see both sides of. But for the most part, too, I mean, I think there's definitely a time and place for it. And I think more or less is like if you think about it, too, I mean, like don't be mad at yourselves because you lost, because, you know, if roles were reversed, Ohio State would have done the same thing at Michigan. If they more than likely would have done the same thing at Michigan. So, I mean, I feel like for them to kind of start the fight at midfield was taking it a little too far, even though Michigan was definitely poking the bear, so to speak.
But, you know, at the same time, though, and you think about it as a former athlete, there is no way I'm going to let somebody do that.
Right.
I don't care win, lose, or draw. They're not doing that. That was my point on what I was saying. You knew it was going to get ugly.
Right.
You knew when you carried that M out there that this is going to get ugly. So be ready for your butt kicking because it's coming. Mm-hmm. Because it's coming. And the other thing always to remember is you pull this on XYZ this year, you got to see them next year. So you've got to be ready to back this up when you get back together next year. And I always remember that. And I always remember that when it comes to even fandom, when you argue and you talk trash back and forth, you're going to see them again. You're going to have to come back to them again at some point. So I'm not even a big one on that one because it comes back to bite you sometimes.
Absolutely. So the amount of Cub fans I've had to apologize to the last few years for constantly heckling them about how bad they were in the late 2000s and early to mid 2010s.
And then they won that World Series and the world didn't end and it kept going.
Right.
And we thought that would be the end. We really did. I thought that in 2019 when the Blues won. So, and it kept going then too. So I think we've somewhat exhausted that topic. So the public-private school, and I know this one gets a little touchy with folks. And before we even start this, I just want to say that we are in no way saying anything bad about the athletes or the coaches at the private schools. They work just as hard every day as kids at the public schools. They work hard. They achieve a lot. For the state champions in football that won, you know, congratulations to you. You worked hard. You earned it. Not taking that away in any way, shape, or form. I never would. Kids work hard. And to win a state championship, I didn't win one. But I had a couple of friends that when I was – I went to college with that they won at DuQuoin. They won a state championship in football. And it was pretty cool. And we both been around some. We were both around South Central when they won their state championship. It's awesome. It's a great achievement, and it's something you're never going to forget. So not in any way are we saying any of those kids didn't deserve it, didn't work hard for it, anything like that. But here were the scores. And I'm just going to concentrate on 1A through 4A because that's kind of more – the world we live in when it comes to football. Belleville Altoff beat Lena Winslow 57-14. Chicago Christian beat Moroa Forsyth 47-0. Lombard Montini, which the Vandals have had experience with them in wrestling in the past in 3A, they beat Monticello 49-8. And Chicago DePaul beat Mount Zion 40-6. So there was not a competitive game in that mix. I think all of them were running clock. I think they were all continuous clock, so had to be 40-0 at some point. I'm not sure on that, but I think that might be the case. All private schools against public schools, each one of those games. That's not a good look. That's not a good look.
Absolutely. I mean, you want when you get to – there's nothing worse both as a media person, broadcaster, fan, or player than when you get to the championship, you get to the highest level of whether it's a tournament, state, whatever the case may be, and it's just not a competitive game whatsoever because really that's what you expect. You want the last game of the season to be kind of the highlight. I mean, the – Super Bowl is a perfect example. There's nothing worse than seeing a blowout or a boring Super Bowl because it kind of feels like a letdown. And, you know, we talk about the private and public school debate, and this is an argument that I've been saying for years. I think private schools need to be in their own class. And one example I always use is you brought up South Central winning state in baseball a few years ago, and the team that they beat was Father McGivney. Well, Father McGivney kind of gets the leftovers of Edwardsville and Glen Carbon, which are both, what, 5A, 4A schools. Mm-hmm. South Central is made up of four towns with the highest population being barely under 1,000. I mean, nothing against Kurt Jones, Blake Doering, or any of the other South Central coaches there, but I mean, they got to work with what they're given and they got to pick from a very small select talent pool. And when you're going against, you know, these guys who were good enough to be on maybe a JV team for Edwardsville, but they knew they weren't going to get playing time, and so they bumped down to 1A. I mean, the talent level is just a night and day difference.
I think the thing that I look to is more, and you've kind of touched on it, it's not as much a private school, parochial school to me as it is where are you coming from? And the perfect example that I look at with that 1A through 4A, so 1A in football, the smallest class in football, Lena Winslow, is there. To reference it, Cumberland is a 1A football school. They played Belleville Altoff. Belleville Altoff is in St. Clair County. There's 250,000 people live in St. Clair County. That's a pretty big, what's Belleville, 40,000 people?
Something like that.
Good-sized place. Moroa, Forsyth. Okay, Moroa and Forsyth are just outside Decatur. So there's decent population base there, not their towns, but still around them there is, but they played Chicago Christian. Well, that's 4 million people in Cook County and surrounding area. Lombard Martini's in DuPage County. It's about 1 million people. Chicago DePaul's who Mount Zion played. Mount Zion's a town of 1,100 people. Yes, it's close to Decatur, but it's not Decatur. It's its own community. That's a lot that you're going against. I've brought it up a few times, and I posted a few things on social media about this. You know, Brownstown St. Elmo girls last year played Father McGivney in the regional championship in girls basketball. And again, I'm taking nothing away from the athletes from Father McGivney, but look where they're coming from. Look, Brownstown and St. Elmo, you've got two towns. Mm-hmm. You've got, what, 3,000 people between them in population.
I mean, St. Elmo alone's like 1,500.
Right, so that's what you've got. You've got two towns. This is who they've got to select from. This is the athletes they've got. This is what Coach Paisley gets to choose from. He doesn't get to go say, I need a point guard and I got to go find one. And under the rules the way they are, that's technically the way it goes. You will hear the, well, they really can't recruit. Come on. I think that's naive on a lot of fronts. I think you said they need their own class. At least bumped up one mm-hmm. from where they are. I don't think any private or parochial school, and I'll just say private school, I don't think any private school should be 1A in anything. I just think that is lopsided. That one is really hard to bear. Now, when you get to 4A, 5A, 6A, okay, you might have enough people to overcome it in some way. But when you're 1A, you got what you got. I mean, it's, you know, there are 1A's out there that are great teams that probably don't have enough for a JV, you know, when it comes to some sports. So that one factors in more for me. I've covered Breeze Mater Day, worked in Clinton County, covered there. It's to me, and I'm not going to pick a fight with anybody on this, but Mater Dei is a different private school than when we're talking about one of these Chicago's or something like that. You know, they're not picking from, you know, 200,000 people necessarily. So there is a difference there a little bit with me on the size of the area they're coming from. But no school should be 1A when they're private. That's just my opinion, especially in football, especially not in football.
So. I mean, I think another example too, I mean, is a prime example, especially for us, because we cover half of the NTC almost, is St. Anthony. I mean, they beat Ramsey, what, 105-27 in the regional last year.
Yep.
A few years ago, I think it was 2017, the year they won state. They ran into Patoka in the, was it the sectionals or the supers? I can't remember. But yep. They were able to, I mean, those are two of the smallest teams in the state. I mean, when you look at how big Effingham is compared to how big Patoka and Ramsey are, and I can even throw Mulberry Grove in that conversation too. I mean, the numbers are just night and day, and right. Yes, there are going to be some, and I'm not taking anything away from Ramsey, Patoka, or Mulberry Grove either, but when you have to consistently compete with a team that can get teams from either Effingham or Neoga or Dietrich or wherever, I mean, it's a night and day difference between, you know, building with what you got.
And it took me a second. You're talking about the basketball and the sectional championship.
Yes.
They played St. Anthony.
When they had Jared Kane and Garrett, yes, Belcher in them.
I mean, Coach Eddie had a tremendous group that year. And, you know, St. Anthony beat them in the sectional championship at Nokomis that night. And, you know, and like we've said, I'm not taking anything away from the athletes at St. Anthony or any place. But it is different. It is a very different thing, you know. Patoka is a very small town. You know, I came from a very small town. You know, we had what we had. That's just the way it is. And, you know, that's the beauty of it. When you do get a great group like he had, you've got those opportunities. So, it's tough. And especially when you're talking, I really feel it when we're talking about one of the schools, when it's 1A against a Father McGivney or an Althoff or something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, the talent difference is night and day. I mean, and like you said, I mean, you don't get the same numbers that they do, and you don't have the luxury of having someone to, you know, come off the bench to maybe potentially like try to shut down or help contain somebody. And there's a tweet that I bookmarked too, because I knew we would talk about this. It was from Arcola Boys Basketball. Twitter posted this. Proud to coach at a public school where we have to build from the ground up, have to be involved with our youth, play the hand we're dealt, and build relationships. Can't go out and buy a new starting five. These football championship games are a joke and will hopefully open some eyes.
Well, I think we've kind of summed this one up. We had one we didn't agree on and one we did. So going to sign off for this week. Isaac Isringhausen, Todd Stapleton, and we'll be back with you week two next week.